I want you to look up John 14. John 14 in the Pew Bible. And tell me the page numbers on. How can possibly John 14 be on page 85 in the Bible? John is the 43rd book in the Bible. Say it over. Okay, in some Bibles, the page numbers start over in the New Testament. 600 and some pages in the Old Testament, page numbers start over in the New Testament. We are a New Testament church. Used to advertise that, non-denominational, independent, New Testament church. And had all kinds of people ask me, you guys don't believe in the Old Testament? You're a New Testament church? You don't believe in the Old Testament? Well, the church did not exist in the Old Testament. Church did not exist in Jesus' time. In fact, I joke and say, Jesus did not go to church every week. He went to the synagogue every week, but he did not go to church every week. So we live under New Testament dispensation, and under New Testament dispensation, we have many more blessings than the Old Testament Jews. And one of those blessings we find in John 14. I'd like for you to turn there and hold that during the service. I'm going to refer to several other scriptures during our time together, but I'm going to keep coming back to John 14. John 14, 15, 16, and 17 occurred during the last week of Jesus' ministry before he was killed, the last week he was alive. Chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 covers that period of time, and it is very, very important stuff. It is very, very important stuff. And so I want us to look at the first few verses of John 14, which is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I know somebody's going to say, every time he preaches, he says he's preaching on his favorite passage of Scripture. Well, I have a lot of them, but this is one of my favorites. And so I want us to look at this passage and look at what it teaches. And I want to look at it backwards. Okay, and I'll show you what I mean in a minute. But let's try to read it together again. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and just pick out three things that it teaches. And I want to start with verse 6. I want to start with the last one. Okay? In verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus claimed to be the only way to heaven. Jesus claimed to be the only way to heaven. I've had a person quit my church that I'm not going to come listen to you preach anymore because you teach Jesus is the only way of salvation. Most of the people who quit my church, it embarrasses me and hurts my feelings, and I'm really hurt by it. If you quit my church because I teach Jesus is the only way of salvation, I consider it a compliment. I consider it a compliment because it is the truth. Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no other way. There is no other way. I know that's not the popular position. I know it sounds good to say there are many ways to heaven and you take your way and I'll take mine. You know? We're not saying that independent, non-denominational Christian church is the only way to heaven. We are saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's one way to peace through the power of the cross. That one way is Jesus. He is the only way. That what Jesus claimed for himself. He was the only way. A person either has Jesus and is saved, or he does not have Jesus and he's lost. And there's many different religions there are in the world. And there are a lot of good things about a lot of different religions. You study most religions, they have good qualities in them. I remember years ago reading a bunch of sayings from Buddha and was just, at that time in my life, was really fascinated that, boy, a lot of things he said was true. A lot of things he said was good. And I said, wow, I just always put any false religion as terrible and bad and all that. But there are a lot of good things in a lot of different religions, but there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way, and that way is
Jesus.
That's it. There's no other way. There's no other way. Now, you say, well, Lee, what about the people who've never heard about Jesus? There's no other way. There's no other way. And I was stumped. I was stumped when Christians would come and ask me, say, what about those people in these countries and they've never heard about Jesus? I said, you really worried about those people in those countries that's never heard about Jesus? Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to them. They've never heard about Jesus. I said, you know who you ought to be worried about? You ought to be worried about me and you because we didn't tell them. That's who you ought to be worried about. We didn't tell them. And he told us 2,000 years ago, go and tell everybody, and we hadn't done it. So you don't need to be worrying about them so much. You need to be worrying about you. Because you hadn't told them. Because Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way any person can ever be saved except through the shed blood of Jesus. That's it. That's the whole ballgame. And so therefore, there are really only two religions in the world. The ones that trust in Jesus and the ones that trust in anything else. That's it. I don't care what else they're trusting in. And most of them are trusting in their good works. But some of them are trusting in a particular leader, a particular teacher, a particular guru, or whatever. But there's only really two, just Jesus and those who trust something else. And so the only way to heaven is Jesus. And Jesus himself said so. Jesus said so. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said exactly the same thing in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. You don't need to look it up. I'm going to refer to several other scriptures, all coming back to this one. But I just want to show that other people in the Bible taught the same thing. In Acts 4, 12, Peter says, and there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, put that in the Bible. There is no other way. Let me give you one more. John, the Apostle John. And some of you may not like me saying this, but the Apostle John was one of Jesus' favorites. Jesus had 12 disciples, and three of them seemed to be closer to him than the other nine. And John was one of those who was closest to him. In fact, John described himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. But John says in 1 John chapter 5, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So Jesus said it, Peter said it, and John said it. And what John said was, those people who have the Son have life. Those who don't have the Son don't have life. I remember years ago a preacher preaching a revival sermon about the fact there are going to be good people in hell. And what he was talking about was that as we compare ourselves with ourselves, that's the only way you can ever say we're good. If you use the Bible as the defining thing, then none of us are good. All of us are sinners. But if we compare ourselves with ourselves, then some of us are better than others. I almost said gooder than others, but some of us are better than others. So comparing ourselves with ourselves, some of us are good and some of us are bad. But so the preacher was talking about the fact that there are some people who we consider to be good people who are going to hell because they have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never accepted him as their personal Savior. And they're good people from as you compare them with other people. Because there's only one way to heaven, and that way is
Jesus.
That's it. There's just one way. That way is Jesus. No other way. Nobody else. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. And so somebody get upset at me when I'm teaching what the Bible teaches. It doesn't bother me. I don't like people getting upset at me. I'm just like everybody else. I don't like my feelings to be hurt. Don't like people to talk about me. Don't like people to, you know, all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about? But if somebody says, I don't like you because you teach that Jesus is the only way of salvation, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm hopefully not in a sinful way, but I'm proud of that. That I have taught what the Bible teaches. Now, maybe I could be upset that I had not taught it effectively. I had not convinced them that that's the truth. You know, I should be upset about that fact that I didn't convince them. But the fact that I taught that is a good thing. And I think it is true that it doesn't make any difference. I think the non-denominational independent New Testament Christian church is the closest church there is to the Bible. But I think there are Christians in all different kind of denominations. And the key is whether they believe in Jesus. That's the key. That's the issue, whether they believe in Jesus or not. And those who believe in Jesus are saved. Those who do not believe in Jesus are lost. That's what the Scriptures teach us. And that's what we need to believe. So, starting with the last verse, verse 6, was Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way of salvation. Just one way, it's Jesus. The second thing I want to talk about is in verse 3. And that is, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus is coming again. The Bible teaches that. Jesus taught that. He's coming back. Sometimes I think that the devil has got right in the middle of a true doctrine that Jesus is coming back and got us arguing about all the details of when he's coming back and how he's coming back, what's going to happen when he comes back. And so many preachers just avoid prophecy altogether because prophecy is controversial. Different preachers, different Christians interpret it differently. And so many preachers just ignore it. They don't talk about it at all. But the fact is, Jesus is coming back. He said so. Jesus is coming back. He is alive, and he's coming back. I don't know when he's coming back, but I know he's coming back. And I need to trust in that, and I need to believe in that, and I need to look forward to that, and I need to be excited about that Jesus is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. I'm over my head, but I'm on Facebook. You know, I went by a church the other day, said they were a Facebook church. They sought his face and read his book. So they were a Facebook church. and so I'm on Facebook. But anyway, the Christian church ministers have a page on Facebook. And I don't put too many things on Facebook except pictures of my grandchild. But I don't do very much Facebook stuff. But anyway, somebody posted on the Christian church, independent Christian church ministers Facebook page. He was doing a survey. He wanted to know how many people that read the Facebook page, how many people believed in the rapture. You know, the rapture? Being caught up to the Lord now. And so, and this was on the Independent Christian Church Facebook page. So anybody could respond any way they wanted to, I suppose. But anyway, I was crazy enough to answer the question. All he wanted, he said, I don't want no explanation, don't want no argument. I just want yes and no answers. And so, do you believe in the rapture? So I responded and put yes. I believe in the rapture. An hour later, I checked it. Three of us said yes. 22, it said no. And over the next 2 days, more people added, and everyone I saw said no. And so those of you who have been listening to me preach for 30 years, it's a hand of the world, somebody, an independent Christian church minister, not believe in the rapture. Just how could that happen? Well, I'm not sure, but when I was in Bible college, I was in Atlanta Christian College from 1972 to 1976. We had 330 students in college. Atlanta Christian College no longer exists. It's now Point University. But anyway, when I was there, 330 students, many of those students are going to be ministers. And 330 students, there were three of us who believed in the rapture. Three. Being kind of the lone wolf in the group doesn't bother me. I've been there a lot, and I'm still there a lot, because I just say, if the Bible teaches it, that's what I believe. That's what it teaches. And the argument is, on Facebook, they said, no comments. We don't want the comments, just yes or no answer. But one or two people put on that, the word rapture is not in the Bible. And that's true, it's not. The word Bible is not in the Bible either. So if I'm not going to believe in the rapture because it's not in the Bible, it's not the word itself is not in the Bible, I shouldn't believe in the Bible because the word itself is not in the Bible. But anyway, I said all this to say this. In Latin, in the passage I just quoted to you, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That word caught up in Latin is rapture. So I should have just put on there, yes, I believe in the caught up. I believe the Lord's going to catch us up. And I do believe that. I believe the day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And those who are dead, who've died, who are Christians, who are in Christ, are going to be caught up. We're all going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I believe that because the Bible teaches that. I believe Jesus is coming back. I just shared with you verses 16 and 17, but used to, every time I preached and talked about the second coming, somebody would go at the back door and say, you're trying to scare people into heaven. Sometimes they'd say it the other way. Not only trying to scare people into heaven, they'd say, you're trying to scare the out of them. But anyway, but the fact is, if you read the scriptures, it's not a scary thing for Christians to talk about the second coming of Jesus. Let me share it again and add the next verse, okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 this time. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Not therefore scare one another with these words, therefore comfort one another with these words. For Christians, the second coming of Jesus Christ should bring comfort. That he's coming back. And we ought to be excited about that. We ought to be excited about the fact that Jesus is coming again. Now Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, for this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. In other words, even for us disciples, he's going to come unexpectedly. He's going to come like a thief in the night. And therefore, the right answer about the second coming of Jesus is to stay ready. Just stay ready. If you're ready, it doesn't make any difference when he comes. You're ready anytime. Just stay ready. I always like to say, I want to be concerning the second coming of Jesus like I want my firemen to be in my neighborhood. I want them to stay ready. If I need them, I want them to be ready. And as a Christian, that's the way I should be the second coming of Jesus. I should just stay ready. So the first point we made was verse 6. John chapter 14, Jesus is the only way to heaven. The second point we made is verse 3, John 14. Jesus is coming back. The last point I want to make is, you should believe in Jesus. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in me. We should believe in Jesus. We should trust in Jesus. We should know that he is the only way to heaven. And we should rely upon him totally, totally for our salvation. Those of you who have been attending on Wednesday night, we've been studying a book by an independent Christian church professor called the Church on Purpose. That's right. Church on Purpose. I think that's right. I forgot the title. But anyway, in one of the chapters, as a addition to the chapter, he gave 25 tests to see whether you are a Christian or not. If you wasn't involved, it's kind of scary to take the test. Because some of them I wasn't real sure about. But anyway, he gave 25 tests. And I took the test. In fact, we even shared it on Wednesday night, and everybody took the test, whether you're a Christian or not. And of all those 25 from that book, of all 25, to me, he left out the most important one of all. He left out the most important one of all. I mean, he said, have you been baptized? Do you attend church? Do you give tithe? All that kind of stuff. But the most important one of all, how do I know I'm a Christian? How in the world do I know I'm a Christian? The way I know I'm a Christian is I am trusting Jesus 100% for my salvation. I am trusting Jesus. If God were to ask me today, Lee, why should I let you into my heaven? I can answer it in one word. And that one word is Jesus. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. It's not because I've been a preacher for 40 years. It's not because I attend church every Sunday. It's not because I give a certain percent of my money to church. It's the only reason that I should go to heaven is because of what Jesus did on the cross. When he shed his blood to pay for my sins. When God punished my sins on him, that's the only hope I have. That's the whole hope. That's everything. There is not, Jesus died for me and I did such and such. Nope, it's just Jesus died for me. That's the whole thing. And I trust that completely. That's the whole thing. That's my only hope of salvation. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus said in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life. And the whole reason is because of Jesus. That's it. That's the whole thing. And as you talk to people, and you ask them, one of Chuck's favorite questions when he talked to people is, why should God let you into heaven? And people will give you all kinds of answers. People will say, well, I've been a good parent. Or I've paid my bills. And some of them will even say, I've kept the Ten Commandments. None of them had, but they'll say that. I kept the Ten Commandments. And you want to say, well, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah, I may have told a lie in the end. Well, one of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not lie. You know? And you say, well, one of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not covet. You should never desire what somebody else has, wish it was yours instead of theirs. You've never done that? Well, I may have done that. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, maybe, may have took a pen or two from the office one day. Yeah, I didn't have one. I saw somebody in a restaurant one time, they'd clean out the sweet and low. You ever seen anybody do that? Take all that sweet and low and put it in my pocket, have it at home. You know what that is? That's stealing. That's stealing. That's what that is. And so a person tells me, I've kept the Ten Commandments. It's hard for me not to get off on that and say, boy, you really misunderstand that part. And then they'll say, well, you know, I never committed adultery. I say, man, have you ever read Jesus' definition of what it means to commit adultery? Jesus said, I know you've read that it said do not commit adultery, but I say to you that if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And that's what Jesus said. I mean, he's the master teacher. He interpreted it. He told us what that means. So now, have I ever committed adultery? See, I get in all kinds of trouble if I say I've kept the Ten Commandments. My only hope of heaven is what Jesus did on the cross. And I need to trust in him. I need to rely upon him. I need to depend upon him. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not going to heaven because my mom and dad may have been Christians. I'm not going to heaven because my children are Christian. I'm not going to heaven because my wife is a Christian. I'm not going to heaven because I have lived a, quote, good life, unquote. I've never harmed anybody. The fact is, my only hope of heaven is Jesus. That's it. And Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for those who trust in him and rely upon him. And the rapture will take place whether you believe in it or not. Those who have died in Christ are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Those who are alive and are Christians or in Christ at the time are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And everybody else is going to be left behind. You need to know Jesus is the only way. You need to know Jesus is coming back. And you need to trust in Jesus. You need to rely upon him and him alone. It is not Jesus and something else. It is Jesus that you trust in. He's the only way of salvation. I was telling you about that book on Wednesday night. Those of you who are not here on Wednesday night, shame on you. No, I didn't know what I was saying. But anyway, one of the things he said in the book was that in his view of all the people attending church on Sunday morning, only about 40% are true Christians. So he would say 60% of you are not Christians. I don't believe it's quite that high. But some of you may not be. And the whole issue is whether you're trusting Jesus or not. That's the whole issue. It's not whether you come to church every Sunday. Christians ought to come to church every Sunday. It's not whether you give money or not. Christians ought to give money. It's not whether you read your Bible every day. It's not whether you've memorized a few verses or not. None of that is the issue. The issue is, are you trusting Jesus? Are you depending upon him for your salvation? Let me use an illustration that many of you have seen me use probably 50 or 60 times. I weigh 221 pounds. I believe that stool would hold me up. If I were to sit on it, I believe if I would just trust myself and sit on it, I believe it would hold me up. I don't think it would collapse. I trust it. It's not holding me up. Why not? So I'm not sitting on it. There are some people who intellectually believe that Jesus could save them, but they've never, ever just totally trusted him and put all their faith in him completely and said, I trust you. I'm depending upon you completely to get me to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I'm trusting him 100%. You need to trust him totally, completely to save you.